Good morning, church. Hey, praise God, man. It's a beautiful day out there today. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit on the warm side. As many of you know, our little Bible study has been in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is a very, very powerful book in the sense of it really brings us into the weakness of us and our sometimes we lose our anchor. Sometimes we drift away. Sometimes we have doubts. Sometimes we lose our way, so to speak. And throughout God's Word, we see those examples. So today, what I'd like to do, I'd like to start off with, so if you grab your Bibles, I would like you to go to Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to go just highlight chapter 1, and we're going to go through chapter 2. The focus in chapter 2 is going to be on verse 1. And if you are using one of the Bibles in the back, which I do, and you can see the ones in the back do not come all marked up like this, okay? But the ones in the back go to page 1373, if you're using one of the Bibles in the back there. We're going to begin here. We're going to open with prayer, actually. And I want to walk through Hebrews, and we're going to actually focus on chapter 2 more than we are chapter 1. But when you leave here, I want you to take what you hear today seriously. Do not follow, number one, do not follow any man. You only follow the Lord Jesus Christ, period. Okay? There's many, many voices in the world, and many, many directions, and many, many distractions, but God's word stands, and that's what I want you to walk away with today. Okay, Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you once again, Lord, for your word. Lord, I ask an anointing upon each and every person here, Lord, that they only hear, Lord, what you want them to hear, Lord. Their hearts only hear and understand what you want them to hear. Lord, let the words of my mouth, Almighty God, and the meditation of my heart, Lord, be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you be glorified, Lord Jesus, in all of this. Because it's all about you, Lord. Just as we sang, it's all about you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you and we ask your blessing upon your word. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. So, Hebrews, there's a lot of discussion about who wrote Hebrews, first off. And occasionally you will hear me say Paul as we talk about Hebrews today in our lesson. But Paul, they are not sure whether Paul wrote it or anyone who wrote it. It really doesn't describe who wrote it, and it's irrelevant because all scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit for edification, for building up, and for, you know, our walk with the Lord. So the Holy Spirit is the one that was the original author. So I'm going to run through the highlights of Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past by the fathers, through the fathers, by the prophets. Now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Pay attention to that, because we're going to talk about that here in a second. Who, being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, your sins, my sins, and he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And we see, for in which the angels, he said in verse 5, did he say, you are my son, today I have begotten you. These are quotes from the Old Testament. These are prophetic quotes that God, the Holy Spirit, put in the Old Testament for our edification, for our learning. And again, he says, I will be to him a father, he shall be to me a son. That's 2 Samuel. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And the angels, and of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flaming fire. So God sets the foundation for Hebrews in chapter 1. He sets the foundation, the eminence, and the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Picking it up in chapter 2, therefore, what that means, therefore, that means pay attention. Pay attention. We must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Folks, I'm going to tell you straight up, every human being drifts away. Paul understood this. He understood this when he told in Galatians 3:1, he told the Galatians, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you to turn away?" We drift away. Drifting has, in its context, drifting cannot happen without a starting point. Drifting, we start here. And drifting means it's subtle. It's non-intrusive. It's easy to do it. It's impossible or difficult to perceive when we don't have a focal point. When we don't have that center point, we drift away. And every single one of us do the same thing in our walk with the Lord. Sometimes we drift away. Sometimes we begin, I don't need to go to Bible study. I don't need the fellowship. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to study God's word. And I talked to my sister here this day. She goes, all of my friends are all Christian. I'm going, praise God for that. Because it's a building up of the body. Okay? It prevents that drifting away. Because you have that focal point, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the one that we have to focus on. What happens is we begin to drift away. When we begin to drift away, Hebrews tells us that you will not enter into his rest. We will not enter his rest. What is his rest? What does that mean? What is that talking about? It's talking about my security, my trust in him. My security is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in how great and wonderful I am. It's not in my works. It's only in him. And I want to continue on here. Verse 2, chapter 2. For if the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, in other words, bet me, there is a consequence to sin. When we talk about sin and disobedience, we talk about transgressions. The purpose of the Levitical law and the purpose is to reconnect us with God. It's to get us in one in him. And when I sin, when I drift away, when I walk away, I am disconnected from the Lord. And we're going to see when we get to verse 9 how important that is to understand clearly what's taking place through the Levitical law, which separates us from God. Okay? And Paul is speaking to the Hebrews here, but it also applies to us. So they received a just reward for the disobedience. And verse 3 says, if you don't understand that, how should we escape, okay, if we neglect so great a salvation, which first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Throughout God's word, he's crying out to us, pay attention. We can't escape. The consequences are imminent for those who drift away. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, very miracles and gifts, the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Okay, for he has put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testifies in one place saying, what is man, verse 6, what is man that you are mindful of him? Do you realize that God, I am in awe. When God created man, when he created Adam, and then he created Eve from, took Eve out of Adam. He created this entire universe for you and I. We live in an anthropic universe. There is no other explanation than God's love for us. He created us before, he knew us before we were born. And he put all of this in place so that we would have a work and a walk, and a love, and understanding, and respect for him. Continuing on verse 6, it says, or the Son of Man, that you take care of him. You made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. And that applies to you and I, okay? And he set him over the works of your hands, and you have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him, but we do not yet see all things under him. But Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, and here's the kicker here, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Go back to that original verse. Tasting of drifting away is not understanding what the Lord has done for you and I. When he was on that cross, when we talk about the death that he experienced, he tasted death for all of us. Death is a separation from God. Do you realize that? When you die, God's desire is that we spend eternity with him. When I walk away or I drift away, and I drift away subtly, I don't understand sometimes. All of a sudden I look around and say, man, what am I doing over here? And I'm going to tell you straight up, without fellowship, without God's word, without prayer, without, you know, basically worshiping the Lord in word and deed, we all have the tendency to drift away. It becomes about my job. It becomes about my health. It becomes about my finances. It becomes about everything instead of putting him first. Lord, what is your will for me? What is your guidance for me? What is, order my footsteps. Watch over me. Watch over my family. So when Christ is the center of my life and your life, our tendency to drift away is minimal because we have that focal point. We have that point where we see, Lord, this is you. This is all about you. So Galatians, it talks, actually in Ephesians, Paul mentions that too. He talks about being tossed and tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. There's a lot of voices out there. A lot of voices out there that cause us to drift away. And again, drifting means without perception. We don't realize it. We don't realize, well, you know, I don't really need to go to church today. Well, I really don't need to read my Bible. I'll do it tomorrow. I really don't need to pray today. I'll do it tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you straight up, folks, that's the first step in the drifting. Second step in the drifting is the next day. I'll do it tomorrow. The next day, I'll do it tomorrow. And the next thing you know, we are drifted away. After 9/11, we all know about what happened there, at least most people in here. The churches were packed because they realized they drifted away. They realized they drifted too far. And we can drift far enough to where all of a sudden we're lost. The consequences are great. And I can tell you through our lives, my life, I have drifted far enough to where the consequences were pretty painful. Pretty painful. And Paul, again, the writer of Hebrews, says, beware lest you drift away. Keep those things in mind that Christ has said. Keep in him daily fellowship, daily talking with him. The whole, and Paul talks about that. Do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together as some are. But when you get together with your studies, when you get together with your Bible studies or your church group, it's building each other up. That's what it's about. Verse 9, back to that. He tasted death for everyone. I have to tell you that when I talk to people sometimes, I listen to people, well, I'm a good guy, I'm going to go to heaven. Why are you going to go to heaven? Because I'm a great guy. I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't go with people that do, all that stuff. Guys, I got to tell you straight up, that breaks my heart. That totally devastates me. Because I got to tell you, it's what it says is that Jesus, Lord, what you did isn't good enough. I have to do this, I have to be this way, I have to act this way. No, uh-uh. Sort of like, and I shared this with our Bible study group, it's sort of like seeing the Lord on the cross, being separated from God. My God, why have you forsaken me? He tasted that separation for each and every one of us. He tasted that darkness. He tasted that pain. He tasted that loneliness. He tasted everything that we fear. Everything that we fear, he took it all. And when people say, well, I'm a good person, and I said, you know what that's like to me in my heart? It's like you taking a ladder to the cross, and you put that ladder up against the cross, and you climb that ladder rung by rung, and you look at the Lord's face, and you say, what you did isn't good enough. I'm a good guy. I'm okay. No, guys, kids, no way. No way. Okay?
He tasted that for all people. And our problem is sometimes we can drift away from that. We can drift away from the majesty. We can drift away from the Lamb of God. We can drift away from His Word. We can drift away from you know, in my opinion, reality, which is eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's with Him. Guys, none of us are going to get out of here alive in the body. But He tasted death for all. He tasted that separation. And Paul says, beware lest you forget those things. Beware lest we drift off the path. Beware when we begin to put our faith and our trust in something else. Beware when other doctrines come in. Pastor Bill talks about strong doctrine. Strong doctrine is Christ crucified, dead and buried, rose on the third day for your and my justification. He paid it all. That's what Paul is talking about in Hebrews. And he goes through Hebrews and he continues on in Hebrews and he tells him, if you deny that, if you walk away from that, it's like you taking that ladder and you put it up against the cross and you go, slap Jesus in the face, say, that wasn't good enough. I need to go back to my old ways. I need to go back to my sacrificial system. I need to start doing, you know. No, it's Him and Him only. And when we get that, that's the focal point. That's the center. He is the anchor. He is our guide. He is our mediator. It says I'm going to continue on here for a second here. For it was fitting, verse 10, for Him whom are all things, by Him are all things, in bringing many to sons of glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering, through the Lord Jesus Christ. For both He who sanctified and those who are being sanctified are all one, for which reason He is not ashamed to call you brethren. Nope. His righteousness is on you. His robe of righteousness is wrapped in you. He paid it. And Paul is warning, when you begin to drift away, thinking that you got it together, you don't. Lord, thank You for a good day. Thank You, Lord, for the trials that I go through. Verse 12, and God says, I will declare Your name, yours, to my brethren in the midst of the assembly, and I will sing praise to You. And again, God speaks to him and says, and I will put my trust in Him. Verse 13, it says, and again He says, here am I and the children whom God has given me. When we are presented before the throne of God, the Bible says that He makes intercession for us day and night. I'm reminded of this two men which Jesus talked about that came into the temple. One of them was a Pharisee. He had it all together. I don't smoke, so I tithe, I pray daily, three times a day, I fast, I do all these great and wonderful things for You, Lord, and I'm such a great guy. He drifted off. He drifted away from the truth. The one who knew the truth, and Jesus spoke of it, the sinner, he bowed his head, beat on his chest, he said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Folks, if you find that you've drifted away, if you find that you're having difficulty with that rest that God promised, that isn't there. Because rest, unrest, believe it or not, is unbelief. Lack of faith is unrest. Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. So Hebrews is addressing that pretty strongly. Verse 14, it says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same. God stepped out of eternity, became a human being, and experienced everything that you and I have gone through a thousand times over. And the reason He did that, okay, says that that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who fear of death
were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. That was the purpose of the law. That's what we believe we can do. If we believe that we can be good, if we believe that we do this, is it going to be sin? Mm-mm. Nope. We all try to escape it, but guess what? He's already conquered it. For indeed, he does not give aid to the angels. He does give aid to the seed of Abraham. You guys, I don't know if you know this, but sometimes I think it, I question it. When it says you have angels over you, watching over you. Yes, you do. We all do. And sometimes I think my angel fell asleep. So I think he's not there. Therefore, verse 17, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, okay, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. That is the focus of Hebrews. That's what Paul is trying to get through. That's why he's speaking to us. That's why he's saying, it's easy to drift away. We don't understand we're drifting away until we are basically, it's apathy, it's complacency. We drift away. I don't need to read my Bible today. I don't need to pray. I don't need to give thanks unto the Lord. I don't need to have fellowship with my brothers and sisters. Okay, I'm good. You know, I got to mow the lawn. I've got to do this. And you know what? It happens once. It's planted. The seed is planted. It happens twice. That seed grows. It happens again. And before you know it, you have drifted completely off course. And I got to, give you an example of drifting. If you've ever been in a hot air balloon is interesting because what they do is the heat actually decreases, and actually the air expands and it decreases the pressure inside the balloon. And the balloon begins to rise because the air pressure on the outside is higher than the air pressure inside. So it begins to rise until it reaches that equilibrium where the outside pressure and the inside pressure are equal. And then the balloon begins to be carried across the earth. What's interesting is there's no relative wind in a balloon. Do you know what relative wind is? Relative wind is when you're in your car and you have your window down, you stick your arm out the window. That's relative wind. Okay, when the car is stopped, you don't feel it. In a balloon, there's no relative wind. All you see is the earth moving below you. It's drifting. Okay, you don't know where you're going. Okay, the pilot doesn't know where he's going. I mean, he's trying to adjust elevation and try to catch different wind currents to move in different directions. But he doesn't know where he's going. And the earth is moving below you. That's how simple it is and how easy it is to drift away. So we have to be aware of that. And the only way we can be aware of drifting away is when we're around other brothers and sisters in the Lord. Gee whiz, Craig prays all the time, and maybe I should start looking at that. Gee whiz, Mark reads his Bible all the time. Maybe I should start reading my Bible. One verse a day, praying, oh yeah. Maybe go a day without praying is a battle. But that being the case, Paul, in order to maintain our focus, in order to see when we have drifted, and if you have unrest in your life, chances are you drifted. If you have unbelief, chances are you drifted. If I'm struggling and not trusting in the Lord, chances are I drifted. What do I need to get back to the drifting? Get back in the Word of God. Get foundational. Get strengthened in my foundation with Him. Walk with Him daily. Man, folks, when Paul talks about knowing the suffering of Christ, okay, and His being crucified with Him, crucifying the flesh is really tough. Because I don't know about you, but I don't like pain. Crucifying the flesh is what Paul's talking about. But more importantly, in my mind, is seeing what the Lord Jesus Christ went through for you and I. The suffering, the pain that he felt on that cross was my pain, your pain, the pain for all of it. So when I drift away, I think it's all about me. No, it's about him. When that happens, he is a high priest, and he made propitiation for our sins. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to all to understand and basically aid those who are tempted likewise. Therefore, holy brethren, so I'm going to go to three here, of the heavenly, holy partakers of the heavenly, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. But that being the case, the Lord was tempted. He knows our weaknesses. He understands clearly. And our lover, to me, that's what causes my heart to reach out to the Lord, because he understands exactly what I'm going through. And I struggle with that. I'm going to tell you, I struggle with my sinful nature. And I say, Lord, what in the world's wrong with me? And this little voice, bam, hit me. Just, you're broken. What? Yeah, you're broken. You are sinful. Okay? I have washed that. You are righteous in my eyes. And you're, so then I begin to grow in him. Then I begin to trust in him. And every time those things pop up, and when things pop up in your life that irritate you, that cause you to question, that cause you to fear, that cause you to doubt, those things the Holy Spirit is bringing to the surface of your life to bring to the Lord, so that that's called foundational teaching. We bring them to him instead of drifting away. The natural tendency is, I don't want to go there anymore because I don't like the behavior. I don't like this. That's the natural. But saying, Lord, here I am, a sinner. Have mercy on me. The law was a school basically to teach man that we can't do it. The law was put there so that we could be one with the Lord. The law and the sacrifices were put there in the wilderness so that man could be made right with God. The Lord Jesus Christ completed that. He completed that, so if turning away or drifting away is denying, is saying, Lord, what you did is not good enough. If you find yourself in that position, if you find yourself in any of those categories, I want you to think about a little story real quick. Did you know in Crescent City, California, they have what's called the Avenue of the Giants? And those are massive, 300-foot high trees, some of them as large, big around as this building, as this room. That's how massive they are. 300. They're ancient, and they are beautiful. And what's interesting about that is the root ball is small, supporting that 300-foot tree. Massive. In fact, as the trees there, one of the trees they have cut out where you can actually drive your car through the tree. That's how large it is. And the root ball is real small. But the winds come, hail comes, rain comes, they don't fall over. Even with the small root ball, they don't fall over. Do you know why? Because they are connected to each other and they protect each other. That's the fellowship. When we get into those difficult times, rather than drifting away and doing my thing, rather than going away, we gather around. That's what prayer is all about. That's what prayer is all about. We gather around and we support each other. We get into that fellowship. We get into the, because it's easy to say, you know, I'll go to that men's thing maybe some other day. I'll go to the Bible study some other day. Yeah, I can't do it tonight. You know, I got some people coming over. Mm-mm. Nope. Lord, I'm yours. Because I know the time is coming. I know the time is going to happen when I find myself drifted away, losing my focal point, losing my anchor. And that's the key. The Lord Jesus is our anchor. Drop that anchor, trust in him, and don't turn away. And the book of Hebrews, I know this, in our little Bible study there, we've gone over a lot of this, and I have to tell you that as the Lord leads, sometimes it boggles my mind, because the more we get into his word, the more we fellowship, the more we share, the stronger we become. Remember the trees? They support each other. When we drift away, it's imperceptible. Beware. Because the great salvation that we have in through the Lord Jesus Christ is complete. Give it to him, and he will walk us through. Let's close in prayer. If you have never done that, by the way, I ask you right now, just ask Christ to come into your life. And again, I'm not a theologian. I'm not a, you know, learned person. I'm just somebody that loves the Lord. And I stumble. I fall. I drift. But you see, God does not change. He's always there. If you've never asked him, even if you have, we're gonna bow our hearts here in a minute and ask, Lord, open our eyes. Let us see you. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you, Lord. I know this is a short message, but Lord, these are your words, not mine. Lord, we just thank you and praise you that you haven't, Lord, we are sheep that have gone astray, all of us, each and every one of us. Lord, as sheep, Lord, we graze through life just like sheep. And then, Lord, one day we open our eyes, Lord, and we look around and it's gone. Everything is gone. Lord, we lose our way. We drift away. Father in heaven, I pray with all that's within me, Lord, that we do not drift away from your word. We don't drift away from you, Lord. Lord, we put our entire focus, our entire life, everything, Lord Jesus, into your hands. Because your love surpasses all understanding. Lord, we just ask you for that blessing. We ask you for that righteousness, your righteousness, Lord, to be poured out upon us. Lord, be with us as we walk with you through this world. Lord, help us to keep from drifting. Help us stay anchored in you, in your word, in your trust, in your righteousness. For it's in your mighty name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.